Good evening, everyone. This is Vicki with the Ask Spirit Now show, and I am so blessed to be with each and every one of you this evening. I have just finished one of the most powerful weeks at Delphi University up in Georgia, and I tell you, I just feel so connected with Spirit right now, and I'm just so blessed to be with each and every one of you this evening. I want to let you know that the show that tonight is going to be very interesting because a very wonderful lady that I've spoken with here in Georgia, actually, and she had some questions, and I thought, wow, you know, it was about God and angels and how they're all connected, and she just had some very good questions. So I said, you know, I think I'm going to just do a whole show on it. So that's what we're going to be doing tonight. I will be taking callers. I'd love to kind of discuss with you this evening, too, just your thoughts on what you believe, because I do want to make a comment about God or angels or any of the spiritualism that we so love to be a part of, because it's home for us. I can never, and I would never, tell anyone what God is, because for me personally, there are as many pathways to God as there are people. So when I talk about God or angels, this strictly is from my understanding and my truth. And that's all anyone can ever share with us, is what it's truth to them and what's real to them. But it's always, always up to us whether that resonates with us or if it's true for us. So I do want to acknowledge that before we begin, so that when you do hear me talking, you'll know that, you know, it's my truth, and it's my truth may change tomorrow if some experience comes or some new awareness or some self-ascension comes. So I feel that when we talk about spiritual beliefs for us, that we have to be willing to grow and shift our viewpoint if we need to. As a Rohan therapist, that is happening rapidly. And I think I've spoken with you many times about Rohan. It is probably dear to my heart because we can only ascend as high as we go into our inner core. And so as above, so below. So I feel that so many of the masters that we all look up to through the ages, whether they did it through sitting under a tree like a Buddha or however they did it, they learned to get rid of their ego to a point where they could really allow spiritual love in their heart. And that's what I mean by that. So we'll proceed in just a moment as on that subject. I did want to share with you that a very dear friend of mine, David Robinson, is from Asheville, not Nashville with an N, but Asheville, North Carolina, and on July 11th, from 7 to 9, he and I are doing an introduction to Rohan healing basically just some very good information on how it can work for you, and we'll be giving demonstrations, and it's going to be at the Sacred Embodiment Studio, and I will start probably in about a week. I have some data on that as to how you can do it. There's no cost to the event. It's free, although, you know, we always love to have love offerings, but it truly is free. And we are going to be having a retreat in sometime, I believe, in October. And also, just to remind you, I'm going to be doing an inner sanctuary training up in Asheville, North Carolina as well, probably in September or October. I don't have a definite date. And I have to tell you that it is about manifesting your dreams. I never liked to meditate. And when I did this inner sanctuary training, I truly began to love to meditate, to try to really work with my higher self and to dream again. I had forgotten about it. So it's just a very wonderful, relaxing weekend, so I'm certainly going to be inviting you, and you can go to AskSpiritNow.com to gather more data on it as it becomes more closer to the time, I should say. So I want to talk tonight, and I want to thank my listener here in Georgia for recommending this wonderful subject, because it is a fabulous subject. Many people have many ideas of what God is, and some people call him the Mother Father God. Some people see him in a big chair and he's sitting there with a robe and a beard on. Personally, for me, God is an energy, a beautiful light energy, where when I touch the heart of God, and I have done this many, many times in Rohan And in my meditations, in my inner sanctuary meditations, I feel the presence of God. Whether I call him male or female, we're all androgynous. Everything on this planet has a male and female energy. So regardless of how we term him or her, and this evening I may call her she, I may call him him. I mean, it doesn't really matter to me. It's just whatever. We're also used to saying him. But it is such a personal spirit. The Native Indians call God spirit, and God, he, she. So I just want to let you know that when I personally touch the heart of God, I feel loved. I feel love and I feel loved as if there could be nothing more in my life than in that moment. And I have such a connection with God that I build a rainbow from my heart to my third eye, or just directly up to God. Sometimes people need a little rainbow step. Some people just go directly. You see, it's all personal. But I always just ask God whatever I want to know. And he always answers. Spirit always answers me because I ask. And there's an old saying in the Bible, ask and you shall receive. Oh, that is so true, everyone. People, we really all have an aspect of God. Each and every one of us, each person on this planet has an aspect of God. For me, my beautiful, beautiful animals, my pets, to me are unconditional love. They are God on earth. That's the way I see pets. And I know that there are pets out there that are not as loving as others, but I have no reality on those. The only dogs I've ever had were loving and beautiful. And I just have to say, you know, one of the many touching moments of this week was that I have a beautiful golden retriever that I rescued from McKaysville, Georgia, about 4 or 5 years ago, and told her I couldn't keep her because I had two other dogs. And well, that's, you know, history now. She warmed my heart. She warmed my daughter's heart. And so she's with us today. But, you know, I'm a ordained minister in the Holy Order of the Dove. And when I graduate in August, I will be 33rd degree. And that's a pretty high degree initiate in the Holy Order of the Dove. And today, the beautiful instructor in Rohan gave my dog Goldie Ford her 33rd degree canine initiate in the Holy Order of the Dog. And I tell you, I broke down and cried because my golden retriever, I call her Goldie, has been every step of my journey. She has always been there, and sometimes you wonder how she's going to make her next step. But she always does, and she's such an inspiration for all of us that they get a chance to be around her, to know that, you know, each and every one of us, y'all, we all have journeys to make in this incarnation. And we can do it. We can do it. We're not alone. So with God, my understanding is that God created everything. And I have one of the directors at Delphi University in McKaysville, Georgia, stated about God. He said, you know, how did all this happen? You know, people saying, how did all this happen, this whole world? And he said God came out because he just couldn't contain himself. And I just thought that was great. You know, he just couldn't contain himself. But many people say, well, if you believe in God or spirit, but yet you connect with the angels and you ask the angels, the angelic forces, the spiritual teachers, your spiritual guides and healers, if you ask them for help, are you bypassing God? Are you actually saying, well, you know, there really isn't a spirit? Well, to my understanding, spirit just created everything, and made there's just so much to this subject, there's no way we could cover it in an hour, but basically, God created guardian angels, and everyone has a guardian angel that has been with them since birth. And it's easy to contact them because they are always with us. And yes, you can pray and you can tell your guardian angel that you need help. And sincerely ask your angel to communicate with you. And just be aware of the messages you receive. It doesn't mean that you're bypassing God, because the angels are from my understanding, created by God. I mean, you've got archangels that were sent here to... It's a whole world out here of angelic beings, and you know, we have our divine will. I mean, basically the three characteristics of divine self-sufficiency are the divine will. And so when the Creator gave us divine will, it's basically that we have the way we can go, but we also have choices. So if we go the choice of joy, we will feel it. You will know what is right for you through your spiritual connection, how it feels. If you go to do something and it feels sick, then you better check that out. Now, you don't know what that sickness is, but you better check it out and ask, what in the world does this mean? Because spirit is here for us. Now, I do talk direct. When I talk to the angels, I feel like I am in direct contact with spirit. That is just the way that I do it. I come from a Methodist background, Episcopalian, and my understanding of the Bible, and I have Bible verses I can quote here left and right, not that I know them that well, but I did some research on the show, and basically, you know, all through the Bible, angels are all through. They're angels are messengers, or God's messengers to people. And you say, well, why would God need a messenger? Well, we have created this world where we have to be able to communicate. We have this physical world. And if something doesn't make sense to us, then sometimes we don't understand it. So in my understanding of things, you know, God has created these angelic forces that can come and communicate, and we see them as with angel wings. Do they really have angel wings? I don't think so. But that doesn't mean that they may not. It's just that's how we see them, and I know children see angels. They actually see them. They feel them. They know that they're there. But many, many times, you know, angels have appeared as messengers for God, and it talks about that in the Christian Bible, that are we talking about regular angels? I would think so. And although God sometimes communicates with people personally, He also communicates with them through angels, and sometimes even in the Bible, the Bible's texts refer to certain angels' names. And I believe this happened three times, I think, with the angel Gabriel visited Daniel. I'm trying to remember all this. Mary and Zechariah, and I believe this is in Luke, chapter 1 of Luke. So, I mean, there are all references, and so what I sense is that God created everything. This spirit just came out of himself because he needed, you know, to express himself. And in expressing, he created angels, forces, and everything's with a plan. Everything's the way it's supposed to be. So, you know, some people have seen, some scholars believe that Jesus Christ was a man clothed in linen, the man clothed in linen that refers to, was a pre-incarnate appearance of Jesus Christ. So if this is true, then, you know, this would be a variation of God appearing as an angel. And so there are so many different ways that, you know, we've seen the angels that can float. We've seen angels that sing. People that have very clairaudient can actually hear choirs of angels singing. And I have talked to people who have crossed over and have come back. I have someone in my family that had that. And they also saw the light, and they also heard choirs of angels. So whether that's real to some people or not, it was real to the people. And there are many, many books. I believe Sylvia Brown has. There are just many people that have written about this. That people that have crossed over and come back, and even people that are able to communicate with those that have crossed over, they tell you about the different levels of learning when you've crossed over. So personally, when someone prays to God, that is a direct communication. But also when you ask your angels, I don't really necessarily pray to angels. I ask angels for help. And I know that angels are always around us, and our master teachers are around us, and they don't always show their presence because we do have that free will. And it's very interesting because I'm going to have a guest on July 2nd, and he is a numerologist. And Richard King is his name, and he, you know, doesn't buy into the free will as much as a lot of people do. Why is this? Because he believes things have a plan, a soul contract, a reason for being here, and that there's a time for everything. He personally goes into the timing issue. And by the way, he's going to be talking a lot about what's happening in numerology and the earth changes. And so that'll be my next show next Friday. So I think you'll be very interested in listening to him about this, because it is based not on astrology, but on numerology. And it's fascinating because I've talked to numerologists and astrologists about the earth changes, and it's almost like there's some sort of, they can see it in the charts, and they can see it in the numbers, what's happening. So I think it's just fascinating. So I don't know if this is answering questions for everyone, but it's like, I know that God, from my understanding, created everything. So if God created the angels, then, and he's there, they're there to assist us and help us, they're basically our protectors and our guiders and our angels when we're having trouble with, say, our pets. We can call on St. Francis. And, you know, they're angels for dogs, and many people see little angels around dogs and people, especially children. I mean, children just, they're so innocent, and they don't have any judgment about it. And they're able to receive it all. So it's very powerful for me. But do I pray to angels? I can't say that I do, but I do ask for their help. And I always ask for any guidance that I can from however it can come, but only from the highest of realms. And always, always be aware that when people leave, and angels, as I understand it, were never in body form. But you have spiritual guides, and you want to make sure that they're of the highest realms. So always ask, you know, you can ask spirit to make sure that you only have the highest protection, and you will feel it, you will know. And you can always, there are many, many things that you can do, but your heart is your key. When you learn to open your heart and get out of your head, that is when you truly can get a sense of what is happening. And that is what my belief is, that why Christ came onto earth was to open the heart chakra. Because we have had many, many incarnations, and I don't know if I can honestly believe that it happened right away, because there were the dark ages that happened after that, and there was no music, so I, you know, it's a tough situation here on earth, and we need each and every light worker, every healer, and I mean healer, someone who smiles and makes somebody's day brighter. That doesn't mean that, when I say a healer, that does not mean that you're a wounded healer and that you don't have boundaries. And I have a very big issue about people that say they're spiritual and yet they get walked on and they get abused. Because when you're spiritual, you're also part of God. Everyone on this planet is a part of God. So when we take care of ourselves, we are honoring God. And if only we think of other people and never ourselves, I mean, what do we have to give? We always have to think of ourselves, not in a selfish way, but we do have to honor ourselves, because we are as much a part of God as our neighbor is. So I think that's very important. And I certainly do welcome any listeners that are calling in that want to share their thoughts about this. And I have had a lot of training on it, and I've gone through many years of going to church when I was younger, and I still always believed in angels. And some of my dearest friends are Catholic, and they have the angelic forces around them. And you know, they make prayers to the angels to protect them, to guide them, to keep them safe when they're on a trip, to keep them, you know, their heart open. And I feel that when we have as many angelic forces and masters and teachers, I feel that it's a blessed messenger of God, and that we should open our hearts to any spiritual realm that is of good nature that can assist us. So if you feel comfortable saying, you know, Archangel Michael, you know, please protect me, then I feel that if that feels right to you, then I say do it. And if it doesn't feel right to you and you feel like you always have to go to God and God is a certain way to you, then that is what you should honor in yourself. You should honor your own trust and your own spiritual nature of what's true to you, because I have many, many spiritual friends and we are very, very similar in our beliefs, but yet, you know, sometimes things will not resonate with someone and they'll say, well, I don't quite see it that way. And it's like, well, that's great. And you open your heart and you allow people, you know, to share with you. And I think that is the true essence of God, is to really be able to allow. When I say allow, I don't mean like, you know, you say, yes, it's okay. I don't mean it by that. What I mean is that you don't judge them. It's like, okay, fine. You know, if you want to believe that God is in a white robe with a white beard and he holds a sword, then who am I to say that that's not true? It's not true to me, but that doesn't mean that it's not true to that person. So it's a very interesting phenomena about how it all has begun, because I have to tell you that I used to be a part of a group that did not believe in God. And it was fascinating because it was and I will never mention the name because I don't like to be sued and attacked and everything, and this group loves to do that. But they did not believe in God. And now they say they do, but when you get into the upper realms of what they really teach, they did not believe in God. And it was very, very, very sad, because it made you feel like it was up to you to handle everything in life. You had to challenge everything you did, because if you didn't do something right, it was because you, and listen, I believe in responsibility, so please understand that. We are responsible for our own lives, but I also, when I'm working on something, I ask Spirit for help. Excuse me. I ask Spirit for guidance, and I do not feel alone in this world. I did then. I felt very alone because I didn't have the connection. I really did in my heart, and I don't think it lasted. That's why it didn't last very long for me, because it didn't work. But for me, but when I'm feeling alone and I feel like I need help, I know now I have my higher self, I have God, I have all my angelic realm, I have many, many folks in other dimensions. And then, mostly, I also have my friends here on Earth who are spiritual lights of God. So when I need someone to talk to or want to talk to someone, it's so lovely to be able to just call someone up and know that there's that spark of God within them, that light. And it's a blessing to have friends, that people that do not enable you now, but truly help you to ascend and to help you to be the best that you can be. It was very interesting, because something I learned this week that I really, really honored was that when we look at unconditional love, something that I have personally felt when I was in the presence of God, when I touched God's heart, when I touched that beautiful light that I feel when I'm in the presence of God. And I wish I could say that I feel it all the time. I really have to sometimes make a conscious effort to feel it, because the daily activities of life take over and we sometimes forget to just touch the heart of God. That's in our hearts. And so it's very interesting, though, that we think about work. Oh, we're supposed to have unconditional love in work. Well, guess what? Work is a little different, and this is just a viewpoint of one of my mentors, is that when we go to work, we are paid to do a job. If you are a secretary, you are paid to type 100 pages a day, let's say, or answer the phone for 8 hours. If you do that, you will get paid. If you have unconditional love in a workplace and you're trying for that, you're going to get very, very frustrated, because our workplace is a place where we do a job and we get compensation from it. Hopefully we get joy in our hearts from doing that job. Otherwise it becomes very, very upsetting for us. But it isn't necessarily here on earth a place of unconditional love. Where we start feeling unconditional love is in our families. And that's probably the hardest place, and I think that's why so many people love their dogs, because it's like they never get judged. A dog doesn't judge you. And that is truly unconditional love. And when we have our relationships, I'm not in one right now, but the ones that I have had, I think we're all looking for unconditional love. And I think that that is one of the biggest upsets that happens in a relationship, is that we feel that at the end of it, well, what happened? It was, there's no more unconditional love. And I'm writing a book about justice of the heart. Actually, I've already written it. It's coming out shortly, probably a couple of months, about bringing compassion into the game of law, because we can't really have unconditional love in a courtroom. I mean, that's just, you know, I'm sorry. It's not going to happen. But we can certainly have compassion. There can be compassion. So when people are going through a divorce, we don't have to go, you know, God can be in the courtroom. I do believe that God can be in a courtroom, because God is in people's hearts. That's where God is here on earth. I mean, God is not some place that you put in a, you know, a candle or something. He's in our hearts. She's in our hearts. Spirit is there. And when we open our hearts, and you know, you want to say, well, how in the world do you know your heart's open? Well, I believe on the 23rd of July, I believe that's correct, Steve Smith, who is the director of Adelphi, is going to be speaking. And he's wonderful. He does blood cleanses and he does readings. And he's just an awesome, awesome, awesome man. And he talks about breathing from your root chakra, breathing in into your heart. I can't wait to have him on the show, because I want to find out how he found that out, because I have done that meditation. And I welcome any of you to do it right now. Because when you breathe into your heart, you're breathing God's breath into your heart, the very essence of our being. And, excuse me, I have sage burning this evening, and I have probably a little too much burning, because it's really getting in my throat. So I do apologize, but I love to breathe in through the root chakra all the way up into the heart, because it just makes you feel that love and that light. And just remember, everyone, where there is light, there can be no darkness. And I think that is one of the most wonderful feelings, to know that when we do feel light, when we feel spirit, that there can't be. That's basically our best test or judge or feeling, knowing that if we're feeling that light, I will tell you, every day I wake up and from the very bottom of my house all the way up, I send light, just light up. And when I go into the courtroom, before I go in there, I fill it with light. I don't tell people, of course I'm telling everyone now, but I don't go in there and say, hey folks, I turn, you know. It's just a gift that I like to do, because it makes me feel more comfortable. It doesn't matter if anybody else doesn't feel it, because I'm not here to change how they feel. It's up to them how they feel. So, but I do want to share with you that we have the divine principles, the principle of absolute beingness. You know, that state of being, or that state of all being, the absolute beingness, which some people would call, you know, God. And then we have the principle of divine self-sufficiency. God has everything he needs to be God. Excuse me. And you have everything you need to be you. And I think that is just a profound statement. I mean, it's a profound statement. It comes from the mysteries of the soul logos. It's the principle of divine, the sense of pleasure derived from bountiful giving. You know, God gives all that he has to give. But he has everything to give. And so that when we honor ourselves and fill our hearts with love, then we actually have God's love to send and share with others. And it's very, very interesting that I have found in my experiences on earth, we all want to receive and we want to give love. But at the same time, we have to realize that sometimes love is not really spiritual love or unconditional love. It is conditional. I love you as long as you do what I want. Or you will love me as long as I do what you want. And many people call that codependency. Now, that is not the kind of love that I'm talking about here. I'm talking about the love that the, you know, Spirit has given us, that we all have, that we carry in our hearts. So, because the Father, you know, the Father is our thought. It's that masculine part of us. And when we have expression, you know, many people call that the Holy Spirit. It's our ability to put into action, you know, what the Son, the reasoning, you know, how to do something. It's the awareness. And then, so, you know, that's from my understanding of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit is, you know, you will something, you reason how to do it, and then you put it into expression. And when you put it into expression, you're putting God into the physical universe. And when you do that, then you're actually putting light into your environment. And that's why so many people say, well, you know, to be spiritual, you have to be a healer, or you have to do something spiritual in your workplace. Well, that's not the way that many people see it, because if you're out and you're an attorney, or if you're working with children, or you're a secretary, and you put heart into what you're doing, and you truly can make someone feel good. You see them in the elevator and they're not having a good day, just maybe smile at them. Just a simple little gesture like that can be bringing light into the world. So each of us have a purpose to be able to do that. And by the way, I do want to just, I mentioned it at an earlier part of the show, just in case you happen to be in the Asheville, North Carolina area on July 11th, go to my website in the next week, and I will have details on exactly where this center is. I know that the number to register is going to be on my website, but it's called the Sacred Embodiment Studio. And David and I are really excited because we're going to be having a whole retreat on it in the upcoming months, and it's going to be from, I believe, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, maybe even Thursday. And it's just going to be very exciting, because when you start to look at what Spirit has given us on this earth, our purpose on this earth to survive and to bring light and to self-ascend and to bring a purpose here, to bring God's light here on earth, sometimes the hardest part of doing that is to discover all of ourselves. And all of ourselves is not just that good stuff that we want everybody to see about us. Every single one of us have fears. And there are basically four fears that everyone has on this earth. It doesn't matter if you're Vicky sitting in the North Georgia mountains, or if you're the President of the United States. It doesn't matter. We all have four basic fears. And when we go into those fears, this is what Rohan helps us to learn, how to accomplish getting a handle on our life, because life is life. And I feel that one of the issues, and you know, thankfully, when I was created in this body, I did have a good intelligence, and I have questioned a lot of things, and I have tried a lot of things in my life. But one of the issues that came up was that people tended to go and have situations come up, and they would keep coming up and keep coming up and keep coming up. And I feel it's because we don't really understand what the situations are, how we got there, and who created them. When we find out who created these situations, and what if we found out we did? Oh my goodness. What if it was me who created that? Well, that's a pretty powerful place to be in, because when you realize that you create your own world, yes, Spirit is right there with us, but we have come down here on this earth to learn lessons, to find out our true essence, to find out who we really are. And if that is that only we're good, then why is this world the way we are? And the truth is that we all have fears. And when we act on those fears throughout our life, it creates situations that are not comfortable. And so in Rohan, that's why I love Rohan so much, is because we start to uncover the true essence of who we are, that shadow part of us. That's becoming such a popular word these days, shadow part of you. And so many people look at it and, you know, they condemn that part of themselves. How in the world can we truly love ourselves when we condemn half of who we are? And everyone has it. It's just that we have all become so social, and we do need to have social. We certainly don't want to be like the cavemen, heaven forbid. You know, that was strictly ego. Now we are ascending from the ego and learning, you know, how to communicate in the world and do it as best we can. And we're all in there together. That is the greatest gift that I have learned on my journey, is that we are all alike. We just create our existence in our own unique way. And I think that's what's going to be so exciting about Richard King next week, is he talks about the numerology. And I have to share something, because when I created the name for my website and my new name that I have after my divorce, it all was so natural. And when he shared with me what those numbers meant, it was like just, it was part of the plan. I mean, it was so, it could not have gone wrong. It was meant to go right, and it went right. I didn't even know about the numbers at the time. So it's a fascinating. So I do want to invite you to come and listen next week as well. So, but I just am very excited that we have gotten a chance to talk about this evening. And if anyone has any comments about what this means to them, I would just love to hear from you. And if you can't call in tonight, you know, certainly feel free to go to my website at Ask Spirit Now and let me know your thoughts on this, because it is such a tremendous, wonderful subject to talk about, because everyone, even if they don't believe in God, they believe in something. I don't know what it is. I've never been an atheist. I've always believed in God. I've always believed in spirit. And when I am in a situation where I need answers, I will call on my archangels usually, or my angels, and I always say, please guide me. Even if I don't ask you in the moment, know that I want and am requesting your guidance. And know that they are there for you, but if you don't want them, they're not going to interfere. Now, I have always understood in an emergency situation that they will, and I will share a story with you that I shared, I believe, maybe when I first started with BBS, with my Ask Spirit Now show. I was in the middle of the desert in California, and I was with my two colleagues. And there was no road or anything around there. It was just a train track in the middle of the desert. And I was pretty much out of it. I was singing and on the railroad tracks with my colleagues, and I was just having a wonderful time. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, a young man about 33 years old with black pants and white shirt said, please get off the, he didn't say please, he said, get off the tracks now. And I turned, and there was a train, I can't tell you, maybe a couple of hundred yards away. I mean, I had a minute, not even a minute, to get off the train track. I grabbed my two dogs. How I did it, I just faintly remember what happened, because it was so fast. And when I got my two dogs and myself off the track, I could breathe the train going by me. I could feel it. It was so close to me. We barely made it. So it really didn't have a minute. I mean, that would have been probably 3-4 seconds. And the three of us got off the train track, and I looked up after the train. It was a short train. It was not very long. I looked up and he was gone. And when you're feeling about a person doing that, they would have screamed. You know, a person would scream. But this was so calm, and it made me feel comfortable, and it saved my life. And I look back on that, and I knew that it was a reason for me having my life saved. And I know that it was Archangel Michael, because he does perform miracles, and they usually come in, you know, in their 30s when they manifest here on Earth. And it made such a profound effect on me. I was in a group, as I mentioned earlier, that didn't really get into that. So I just sort of sat there with it. I didn't have any really body to communicate with about it. But it was so fascinating, because through the years, I have thanked him profusely, because even though I wasn't a believer then, in Archangel Michael or the angelic realm, and I was a believer, but not in that moment in time. He still came and saved my life. I did not ask him to save my life because I didn't even know I needed my life to be saved. And so I think that's the power of the angelic force, the angelic realm, that, and I do personally believe that God created everything. So he created these. And, you know, I have so much to share about this. There's just no way we can do it in you know, 55 minutes. But there's so many ways that you can touch the God within you. And that's why I get excited about the Inner Sanctuary training, because you go through basic ways that you can touch the heart of God and you can find your answers that you can trust. I think so many times we hear things or we feel things or we believe that they're God speaking to us, but we don't necessarily trust that inner knowing or that inner voice. And I think that is one of the biggest issues that I had was, well, wait a minute, where is that coming from? Is that coming from God, or is that coming from my thoughts, or is that coming from what I want? And the Inner Sanctuary, I've been, oh my goodness, I got trained in this about a year and a half ago. And it's so powerful because when I go in my Inner Sanctuary, I know who's talking to me and I know where the answers are coming from. And the only issue that I have is that I probably don't go in enough. Because if you go in every day, it becomes such a part of your life. And life is a habit. We can get in good habits or we can get into bad habits. Sometimes I don't go through the whole Inner Sanctuary, you know, every room in there, but I'll go in maybe with the dolphins and I'll swim with the dolphins for a while. And it warms my heart and it makes me feel connected again. And I think that we all feel a bit disconnected sometimes in our daily lives. I mean, things can get rough, and I know this from my own life. I know it from other people's lives that I do readings on, and it's just anything that you can do to get that connection with your higher self, and then that true connection with the I, that person that you know is connected with spirit. Because our bodies, you know, are here on earth, but it's that part of us, that soul that leaves with us every time we go into a new incarnation. And that's where the karmic balance comes in, because it's not, karmic is not a bad thing. It's just that when we always think about Mother Teresa, she came in this world and she did all this good. And in Rohan, we're learning that not, you know, that we balance our karma. So if we had something happen to us this life, maybe we're balancing something that happened last life. Maybe last life we were very, very wealthy, and we didn't honor the money, or we weren't kind to people with our money. So this life we come in with less money. We're having to learn about that. But I've always had such a curiosity about Mother Teresa's life, because I would love to know, because she came in with such service and she did not need an ounce of money, although I would imagine she had all of her needs provided for, because she wasn't looking for money. She was looking for service, and she must have had great self-worth within her. Great desire to help and to be God's light here on earth. I don't know anything about her past lives, probably never will, but I'd love to, you know, to hear about that, because I can imagine there's great, great beauty in the karmic balancing of life. I just feel that God has given us such a chance to get it right. You know, when I say get it right, doesn't mean that you did something wrong. It just means get closer to God. And each incarnation that we have, we can get even closer to what we call spirit and give our best to what we're supposed to be doing. But I just feel that life is such a journey that if we can learn to understand it, it can become so much easier for all of us. And I guess that's why I love the training that I've had, because I really am learning to understand what makes not just myself tick, but everyone else tick. And in that, we have more compassion in our lives. We understand that when someone acts a certain way, God isn't saying, well, he's a bad person. It's just that we tend to understand them. It doesn't mean that we have to tolerate it, and it doesn't mean that we have to have them sitting at our kitchen table. And it doesn't mean that we don't put boundaries up with people that upset our lives and do things. And, you know, I have another show that I want to do on that, because I feel that it's very important for people to have boundaries, especially those that have any kind of sexual or physical abuse or any kind of abuse in their early childhood. When a child has been violated, it's very, very difficult for them to hold their own space. And they get very, very upset when people come into their space and they don't understand why. So it's a very important subject for people to understand boundaries. It's just a vital, vital part of life. And it's very uncomfortable when you learn about boundaries later in life, because your family and those that love you or around you are not used to it. So when you start to put boundaries in, it feels like, holy Moses, your whole world's coming apart. It's like, oh my gosh, what's happened to her? You know, how can she be spiritual when she's doing this to me? But the truth is, you are being spiritual because you are honoring yourself and you're honoring what it takes for you to be and in your heart. And so if someone's constantly violating you and constantly doing things that are less than light, then yes, you do have to make a stance, and you do have to honor yourself, because the God within you needs to shine. And if the God within you is not shining, then it's time to take a look at your life and see what you can do so that your true essence, your true light, can shine forth, because that's what we're here on this earth to do. All of us have our own unique God-given way of shining our light. And I just want to say that as far as praying, I feel that whatever feels right in your heart is what you should do. And if you feel like you're doing something wrong by praying this way or praying that way, take a look at where that came from. Why do I feel this way? Why do I feel that I have to call God a he or call God a she? Or why do I have to do it this way? Because that in itself is a control which might be very powerful for your ascension, for your truth, to find out where that came from. Because I feel our connection to spirit is personal. And anyone that comes in and says that it's wrong, or you can't do it that way, I'm thinking to myself, I feel like, you know, if I had high heels on, I would take them off and run pretty fast. But that's just me. I don't wear high heels, so I could run pretty fast without having to take any shoes off. But what I think is just so interesting is that we get into these control issues, and a lot of times religion does this. And, you know, you have to do it this way. You know, if you don't do it this way, you can't reach God. And if you have, you know, if you're sitting out and you feel God, and it's because a raindrop fell on your head and you feel that that's God communicating with you, then you know what I say? Bless you. And honor that part of you that believes that way. And as long as you're not hurting people with it, and you're not telling other people that you have to believe this way, then I feel that it doesn't really matter. I mean, I do the best I can to teach my daughter, but guess what? She's going to learn. I mean, certainly, I know the religious teachings. I know my daughter went to a Christian school, and they want to get them when they're young so that they can control how they feel and how they believe, because they believe their way is the only way, and that's fine if that's the way that it works for them. I just have never felt that way. I've always felt that everyone has their own way to God, and whatever it takes for you, if it feels right, it's right. And if it makes you feel uncomfortable, like, oh my gosh, I can't pray to God that way. If I do, I might get struck by lightning. Oh, I can't do that. Something bad will happen to me. My only question at that point would be, question where that came from. Who told you that? Because you have the right, as everyone on this world, to have a connection with God the way that you want to have it. And I feel that is about the best that I can share about, you know, angels and God. And, you know, if it feels right and it doesn't make you feel guilty, but if there's something that makes you feel guilty, you know, I personally would investigate it. I would say, well, gee, because I don't think that God's light, the true essence of unconditional love and God's true essence wanted guilt in there. I think that comes from humanity. True unconditional love is, and that's what I consider spirit, by the way. Unconditional love. It's that energy, that feeling when you go into those deep meditations. That's why people love to meditate, because you feel like you're home. You feel like you're connected to the true essence of why we're here, to love. And so when we get judgments and guilt in there, then for me personally, that's not what I get from God. I don't get that from God. I get deep, deep unconditional love, and I do my very best to share that. I'm not perfect, and I don't do it all the time. Sometimes it's very hard, and especially in the courtroom, it's very, very. Boy, you get tested when you go in there, because you're doing the very best that you can to have compassion for other people, but yet let the truth be known as well, and that's what a courtroom is about. So. Can there be compassion in a courtroom? I definitely believe so. And I think it's up to the lawyers and the judges to put compassion into the courtroom. But also people that work in the courtroom also can do that. And it's very interesting. But I just want to remind you again about going to Ask Spirit Now. I do Rohan over the phone, only on the Rohan cards, and I do those by long distance just to see if it's right for you. If it feels right, it takes about an hour, and if that Rohan feels right, then normally I do if you're not in my area, because Rohan needs to be done, you know, in your healing area, you know, one-on-one, but I can refer you to someone in your area, but I always, you know, it's always nice to find out if it's right for you. Because Rohan is just like anything in life. You know, you have to want it. You have to be in that space for it, because something else may want to do something else first. And so it's a very profound healing, and it will definitely, shift the DNA and shift your law of attraction. I can tell you that. It is quite powerful. So just remember over the next week or two to go to Ask Spirit Now about the July 11th and the upcoming retreats that will be in the fall up in Asheville, North Carolina. And the reason why I go up to Asheville is because I love it so much. And David is up there. He's a master Rohan therapist. And he was on my show last week. And as far as me doing Rohan, I'm in the Jasper, Georgia area, so I can work with anybody in the Georgia area or the northern, you know, the southern parts of the Carolinas. So I have a wonderful healing center here in the North Georgia Mountains, so I would certainly welcome you. And I want to thank you so much for listening in, and I will look so forward to hearing your comments on Ask Spirit Now. And I just want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for listening. It is just so wonderful to honor yourself and just to remember, Ask Spirit Now. That's why I called my website Now, because the spiritual realm, whether we call them angels, whether we just want to call it spirit or God with the angels, however you want to term it, whatever your nomenclature is, just know that there are wonderful, wonderful spiritual energies to guide us, to help us to feel connected while we're making our journey here, our trip, our little trip, if you may, here on planet Earth, until we get back home again. And we all want to go back home. So I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart. And again, Richard King will be on next week. I have a tarot card. Patty McLean will be on in, I believe, July 16th. And I will have Steve Smith on the 23rd. And then we will just have some very fascinating. I was supposed to have a little girl on tonight to talk about her experiences with communicating with pets, but she got a little tired, so she's going to do that another night. So But a thank you from the bottom of my heart, and remember, ask Spirit now. Good night.